This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin-Mark Kusu-Chuang and Sharitz Abdullah. Now, incoming president of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, has made a clarion call for governments in Europe to launch fiscal stimulus. And she made these remarks in an address to the European Parliament on Wednesday, adding she is not a fairy, which means that central banks can only do so much, because the European economy has thus far been something of a cause for concern.
Yeah, that's right. She was installed as the new ECB head yesterday in Brussels, and basically she told the European Parliament that low deficit successful countries should be playing the fiscal spending card to power Europe out of the downturn. So basically, it's a challenge for the rich north to help the poor south. And, you know, as you say, Lynn, the European subcontinent has been a cause of concern. Germany could be headed for a recession, albeit a shallow one, after it contracted a 0.1% negative print last quarter. And of course, Mohamed Al-Erian, formerly of PIMCO and now chief economic advisor to Allianz, has suggested that Europe has a 70% chance of crashing into its second recession in the last 10 years.
So, I mean, we were speaking about stimulus as well. I mean, not all countries are probably in the right position to be going towards that direction. I mean, Germany is perhaps the only country within that within the Union that has a positive budget surplus.
It's true. And next Thursday, the ECB is going to be convening for their September meeting. Many are expecting further monetary loosening out of that meeting. So for more on the European economy, earlier this morning, we spoke to Kenneth Watrett, Chief European Economist at IHS Market. And we asked him how effective would Christine Lagarde's calls for European governments to launch more fiscal stimulus, how effective would that be?
Well, I think it really depends on the nature of the measures. What form do they take? Is it tax reductions? Is it spending increases? And, of course, where they're directed. I'm not surprised at all that she's called for more emphasis on fiscal policy, because it's pretty clear that monetary policy is running out of ammunition. There are things that the central bank can do, but there are diminishing returns emerging from various measures that they're pursuing. I think the question with fiscal policy really depends, like I said, on its nature. I mean, for example, if tax cuts were targeted at low-income households who have a high propensity to consume, it may have quite a positive effect. On the other hand, if there was a cut in the level of corporate taxation, for example, in the uncertain environment that we're in, it might be that businesses decided not to use the additional funds for investment, but actually, you know, they kept rather high cash balances and waited for the situation to clear. It's the same with public expenditure. It really depends on how that's targeted. There is a case, I think, for governments to use very favorable funding conditions at the moment to increase their infrastructure investment. In some countries, including in Germany, infrastructure investment's been rather low for several years now. The question there is how quickly that would be implemented. It often takes time for those measures to take effect.
So then we also asked Watrett for his outlook for Europe and what options the EU has in their books.
Well, I think it's fair to say the outlook is rather challenging for a number of different reasons. We know some countries in Europe are very sensitive to developments in global trade. There's obviously an ongoing trade conflict between the US and China. There's a lot of uncertainty about where that will go in the future. And that's having a very negative impact on export growth, for example, from Germany and countries linked into the German trade cycle. We think it's likely that Germany will be confirmed as being in recession, albeit a mild recession, when we get GDP figures for the third quarter in a couple of months' time. Elsewhere, it's very challenging. In Italy, for example, the economy has been almost permanently in recession. Obviously, in other parts of Europe, there are difficult challenges too. In the UK, the political situation is very uncertain, with potential spillovers elsewhere in Europe. There are some positives at the moment, including low levels of inflation and so far robust labor markets, which are quite helpful for consumer spending. That's acting as an anchor for economic growth and preventing an even worse economic situation. But we've generally thought that economic growth across Europe would be surprising to the downside for the last year, 18 months, and we think those headwinds are continuing to blow. So we think the economic environment will remain pretty difficult. In terms of what can be done, well, there is fiscal space in a number of places across Europe, particularly Germany, but there are question marks about how quickly and how effectively that would be used. There are things that the central bank can, and I think will do, relatively quickly. But I think the main issue holding back the European economy in general is the high level of uncertainty over global trade and global demand.
And the Eurozone has also made attempts to create a common budgetary instrument for crisis times, but the effort has been met with considerable opposition. So here's what Ken has to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the Eurozone specifically, the big challenge here is you're asking taxpayers in some countries to, you know, to subsidize fiscal stimulus, be that tax cuts or spending increases in other countries. And politically, that's very difficult to deliver. I mean, there have been many initiatives delivered in the Eurozone since the crisis in 2011 and 2012 to integrate the single currency area. I mean, you think about the creation of the European Stability Mechanism, you think about a lot of the unconventional measures that the European Central Bank has delivered, and there's been a common investment expenditure plan and so on. But really, to integrate the Eurozone beyond where we are today, there needs to be a bigger common budgetary instrument. And politically, that's very, very challenging to deliver because it's very unpopular in the countries which are expected to contribute most, including in Germany. And given the fractured state of political situation in so many countries in Europe at the moment, it's very difficult to make any progress on that in the absence of even more challenging times. I mean, if you think about what precipitates these kind of changes, historically, it's the sense of crisis and the sense of spillovers across all European economies. And at the moment, although we've had an economic downturn, unemployment rates are still pretty low or generally falling. And so that same sense of anxiety and crisis that was there a few years ago has dissipated. And so I think it will be very slow progress in developing these kind of common instruments. I think probably the Eurozone will get there in the end, but it's not something that's going to make a material difference to the economic outlook anytime soon.
And looking forward, here are Ken's expectations ahead of the ECB's meeting next week.
My expectation is the ECB will deliver another package of monetary stimulus measures, a broad package. This has been widely signaled already by Mario Draghi, the ECB president, and communication from various colleagues at the ECB. I think certainly we'd expect the ECB to lower its deposit facility rate again. That's been signaled. They probably will introduce a tiering mechanism for negative interest rates, which we've seen other central banks implement, which will create some more room for maneuver to go a little lower in the future. And at the same time, I think the ECB will restart its net asset purchases. They brought those to a close in December 2018 because they were more confident about the economic outlook and they were expecting inflation to pick up, with inflation currently well below their objective, both on a headline basis and on a core basis, and with inflation expectations very uncomfortably low for the ECB at the moment. I think it's very likely that they will deliver a range of stimulus measures. And that will have some positive effects, but I think it's, again, not going to make a material difference to the outlook, given the range of uncertainty still hanging over economic activity.
And that was Ken Wattrett of IHS Market, who is of the opinion that the European economy will continue to be difficult, but also that there is still fiscal space for governments to move.
Yeah, so she's basically exhorting governments over there, the richer northern countries, to help out with fiscal measures. And I think he's quite right in pointing out that whatever fiscal measures, the details are the most important thing. If there's a clear and discernible impact on, say, consumption or in terms of growth, then fiscal measures should be, you know, basically executed. For example, if you offer tax cuts to, you know, households with a high propensity for spending, then obviously there's a relationship with consumption. If you, for example, where infrastructure is concerned, there hasn't been much spend in Europe for the last few decades. If you spend on, say, high speed rails, for example, or if you spend on, say, more highways and more roads, for example, then more commercial activity might arise and therefore consumption and growth might be engendered. So basically, it's all in the details. And I think at this point in time, Christine Lagarde does not have those details, but it's really a case by case of how the countries decide to spend their fiscal means.
So, I mean, all the central banks in Europe basically have done whatever they could. And I mean, we look at how it's been performing. So, for example, the Europe bond sales have passed 1 trillion euro in record time. And this is partly their role. And I think there's so much that they can do. And when it comes to fiscal stimulus as well, I mean, we also have to look into the a budget of every single country as well. And not a lot of countries within the European Union is in that position to do so. And the ones that that do is perhaps Germany. But and they are the only, you know, one of the few countries within the Union who is actually right now having about 17 billion over surplus, euro surplus.
Yeah, low deficit countries or surplus countries. I mean, Spain obviously is another one which has been doing really well, the UK, but guess what? They're not part of the Union anymore. At least not as Bojo envisions it.
And I think the other question with Germany is, will they take the step for the good of the European Union? Angela Merkel is finishing up her last term as Chancellor, so whether or not we will see that as her legacy going as she heads into her final term.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.